Well, here we go. Episode 100. Just want to shout out my sponsors, Rebecca at Triggered 22, Matt at Kelowna Coffee Roasters. Huge shout out to my wife, Courtney. Thank you for everything and being so supportive. To all my friends, family, and listeners, thank you for being loyal and every Wednesday morning tuning in to a new episode of the American Grown Podcast. Here's to 100 more. And again, thank you all so much for sharing your stories and trusting in me to share your stories. It really means a lot. And I appreciate it and look forward to 100 more.
Because I think, you know, complacency, that's where dreams go to die. And if you're not, if you get complacent, you're just, well, that's it. You're just going to be complacent and you're never going to move forward.
You won't grow.
You won't grow. Yeah. You won't grow because growth happens.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. In this episode, we have Penn State alumni, the King of Kingston, Bill Corcoran Jr., host of the On the Stacks podcast. Bill, welcome to episode 100 of the American Grown Podcast.
Brother, thanks for having me. I appreciate this. I think this is a long time coming. Also, congratulations on your 100th episode. I'm honored to be here for it, honestly, man. I mean, it really means a lot that you thought of me to do this 100th episode. We've never actually met in person. We've been friends just through social media for some time now, probably a few years or more. I don't even remember because I feel like it's been that long, and I feel like we've just known each other without actually knowing each other, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we've talked a little bit here and there, but yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to be here and I'm looking forward to jumping into this. I actually look forward to being a guest on other people's podcasts now more days because, it's a lot easier. I don't have to prepare like you do.
Right.
Cause I know what goes into preparing for one of these as the host, and it's a lot of work. And that's one thing I think people don't understand about this journey about podcasting, and everyone thinks that, oh yeah, you just show up and press record. It's not that easy.
No.
And you know, I know how much work goes into it, pre-production, post-production. I always say this is the easiest part. This could be the most fun part, depending on what part of it you like, but this is the easiest part. But it's even easier for me now. That's why I say I like being the guest nowadays because I don't have to be the one doing all the research and all the planning,
right.
And then I don't have to do any of the editing after either.
Yeah. Well, luckily for me, you're up to like I think 221 episodes.
Yeah.
I've listened to all 200. I shouldn't say all. I've listened to 200 so far. So yeah, I do feel like I know you on like more of a personal level, and we've been connected on Instagram and social media for a long time. You know, and just what you do is amazing. The fact that you, you know, you had a family print shop and everything, it ties in so closely to what we have going on here at ColorTech. And yeah, it is definitely nerve wracking, right? Sometimes I say to the guest, I get more nervous. I don't know about you as the host, because the guest, you're just talking about your life.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, and to be honest, I mean, that is, you know, I'd be lying if I said that I showed up to every interview, you know, without any nervousness. Like, I mean, I think everyone does. I mean, you can take the biggest, you know, stars, celebrities, actors, musicians, whoever, and I guarantee you almost every single one of them would probably say that they still, to a degree, some level, have that nervousness until you get out there. Then once you get out there and start doing it, then it's just like you feel at home. And you know, even for me too, you know, I mean, it feels like home to me. I mean, you know, obviously I, as you know, and I'm, you know, some of your listeners may not know, but I, you know, obviously came from the same printing background and world as you did. We're a couple hours apart from each other, but we relate on a lot of the same levels.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, between that and then the podcasting and you doing podcasting, I mean, there's a lot of similarities and parallels between the two of us. And, I feel at home here, and you have a really dope studio.
Oh, thank you.
probably one of the best ones I've been in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh wow,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean this is cool, man. I love it. It's got a really cool
feel. That means
a lot
coming from you. Thank you.
Yeah, I love the feel. I love the brick. I love the exposed. Right? I'm a big exposed brick guy.
The live edge wood, on the table.
Dude,
and the flag.
You got it all here, man.
I'm working on it. Oh, don't look over there. It's a little messy over there.
All right, well, no,
by the fridge.
You got a lot of cool stuff, man.
Yeah. This is, This is when my wife says, you got to clean up the house, you know, get your stuff, you know, get it out of here, clean up a little bit.
Is this where it comes?
This is where it comes, yeah.
Okay, this is where it goes to die?
This is where it goes to die, exactly right, yeah. For sure, for sure. Yeah. I mean, gosh, and Bill, just, you know, I'm honored that you're here. Thank you, you know, making the trip from, I say Scranton, but it's Wilkes-Barre or,
We'll just go say Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. I think more people will probably recognize Scranton, but yeah, we'll say Wilkes-Barre. Yeah.
So no, I appreciate it. And like I said, I've mentioned it before on previous episodes of the podcast. It was 2021. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. Yeah.
2021 is when I first started listening to your episodes. I know you started during COVID, but that it just inspired me because I'm like, here's a guy with it's a lot of similarities, a family print shop. What are the odds of that? Right. And we don't compete because I mean, you guys are way up. We don't even head up that way, but it's like, it was wild similarities. And I'm like, if this guy can do it, he's in sales. It's so similar. Why can't I give it a shot, you know, and have fun with it, you know? So for me, American Grown Podcast is really a creative outlet. I get to meet awesome people like yourself, learn about the community. Some guests have come from like Boston because they're traveling through, and I've had some guests from like outside of the county and such, you know, like yourself. And it's just neat to see that there's so much talent and so much... So many unique stories, right?
Yeah.
That people don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. How did, I don't know why I can't remember this, and I feel like I should know this, but how did we connect? Like, what was the original? Do you remember?
Ooh.
Was it Instagram? I mean, it was the podcast.
It was the podcast. Yes.
Right?
Yep. Cause I was listening to all your episodes. Cause I remember, was it the Big League Chew episode?
Big League Chew. Oh, okay.
Way back, right?
Oh, this, it goes that far back.
Yeah. Like I listened to all of them. And then I think I looked you up on Instagram, I think it was. And then, of course, Facebook, I found that and started following there. Let's just say my wife would even agree. I'm kind of a fangirl for what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big fan. Yeah, I love what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise, man. I can appreciate anyone in the industry, you know, because and you know, I don't look at anything like this even as competition. You know, there's people like, oh, like, what do you think? You know, like even podcasters back home, like there's others. And everyone's like, oh, like, do you like think that's competition? I'm like, competition? Like no, like there is, it's not competition. Like I don't look at it like that. You know, I just look at it like, hey, like we're all, there's enough to go around for everybody. Number one. And number two, like if we can help each other, let's help each other. Like why is there need to be a reason to be either enemies or, you know, or have this like competitor feel like, no, like it's not competition. Just like you said, even the printing stuff, you know, when I was in the printing business, like we weren't competition, you know?
No.
And so, it was just like, hey, like, you know, we're just two guys similar, living similar lives with similar goals and dreams and aspirations and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, hey, man, like I always said, I just like just connecting with just good, genuine people. Plus, I mean, you have a nicer beard than me. So I envy. I do. Yeah. I envy your beard. So, I mean, you know, obviously there's, you know, it's you got a couple legs up on me, at least with the beard.
My buddies would say I had this since like sixth grade, though. So, you know, they've said I've always had facial hair.
I'm very jealous of that because I didn't have this beard until way later in life.
Yeah, so. Well, you're filling in a little bit.
Yeah, it took about 20 years to get it to where it's at now.
20 years and some stress and everything going
right.
on.
Yeah, too, yeah.
But to answer your question now that I think about it, it was I wanted help on starting the podcast. And I think I DM'd you.
Yeah, okay.
And you were more than willing to give the keys over, you know, and say, hey, try this, do this, you know, this is kind of the equipment. I think that's kind of how it started. And I have a very similar mindset as you. It's like local podcasts grow. It's only going to benefit everyone else, right? Because then you can start collabing. You can send guests this way, that way. I don't see it as competition. I've said to guests prior that like, they're like, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. And I'm like, okay, one, are you really going to do it though? Are you really? And I know you say this a lot too.
Yeah. The joke is everybody wants a podcast until they have a podcast.
Right. Yeah, because the behind-the-scenes stuff you don't see.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is, too, I mean, I also enjoy a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and I'm sure you probably do, too, considering you've made it this far. I mean, there's not many people, you know, besides the big guys, like the Rogans of the world, I mean, there's not many people that have made it anywhere near as far as, you know, even you. So, again, you know, congratulations again, you know, 100th episode. I mean, it's super exciting. I can appreciate everything that you've done to get to this point, and everything that you're going to continue to do going forward. But yeah, people don't realize how much work it takes behind the scenes. And that goes for everything. You know, it's not just podcasting. I mean, you can anything, whatever it is that you do in life, in a professional setting, I think everybody only sees you and what you do on the surface level. and they're not able to because they're not doing it right. And I get that because they're not in it. But again, like the public perception a lot of times of what anything anyone does, it's everyone just looks at like, that looks easy. He's doing that. I could do that. You know, until it's like, until you go to do it, you know? So again, like I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me, you know, yourself included, over the years that said like, hey, could you just help me, you know, give me some pointers. What do I do to get started? What should I buy? Should I do this? Should I do that? And all that.
Yeah.
And more times than not, I mean, I'm trying to think, I mean, you're the only person that really has ever actually made it.
Really?
Out of all the people.
Yeah.
I think that I've like helped for free.
Yeah. I was going to say for free. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now you might charge for it, which I appreciate you helping me for free.
Yeah. But no, you're grandfathered in.
Oh,
so,
sweet. Bill. Okay.
Yeah. You got the early.
I've been around long enough.
You got the early bird special. You're one of the OG supporters, and you've supported me literally since day one. And I don't, those are things I don't forget.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, throughout this journey, and this is no knock on anyone in particular, but you know, I've unfortunately had a lot of family and or friends that haven't supported me. And to find that there's somebody like you, and there's other people like you, podcasters and non-podcasters, that, you know, have supported me literally from the beginning or even halfway through, it doesn't matter, but that have just came along and found me. You know, again, we live a couple hours apart from each other.
Yeah.
Didn't know each other. We just stumbled upon each other on social media. And the fact that, like, you know, you were willing to support me and I was willing to support you. I mean, there's, again, as total strangers, that's the thing. And I always find that in situations like this and a lot of times in business, you always find that your biggest supporters tend to usually come from the people that you'd least expect. And they're oftentimes not the people that are closest to you, meaning like they're not your family and friends. You know, do I have some close family and friends that support it? 100%. You know, my mom, shout out to my mom. I love you. She is definitely my number one biggest fan, right alongside you. I mean, you're pretty close.
Okay, I was
going
to say, I'm pretty high up.
You are. Yeah, you're,
I'm not mom level status.
Yeah, but I mean, you are up there. Okay. So, but again, like, you know, like I said, it's you've made it this far, and I mean, there's a lot to be said about that, because most people, I mean, the stat is, I think most people quit after 90% of people quit after 3 episodes.
Yes.
And then after that another 90% quit after 10.
Wow.
So I mean, you do the math on that. I mean, I'm no mathematician, but I think it puts you in the top few percent in the world just by default for making it past 10 episodes.
Isn't that wild?
And I mean, you know, to be sitting here at episode 100, that's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Well, to have you here is wild. Like again, the fangirl, you know, and my wife, if she listens, Courtney, and she does, she would agree. I still have, it's behind the TV. I have like a little catch all. Anyway, I remember I got one of your beanies. It was one of your first beanies on the Stacks logo. And you were doing like handwritten cards with stickers and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's how far back. I don't know. That was probably again 2021. So
yeah,
you were in it a little bit, but yeah.
I can't believe that was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Where's the time gone?
Dude, time flies. And you know, I want to shout out too, and give some credit. I'm sure you know you would agree. Eric Curtis, if you're listening,
Eric,
huge part of what you do. And I've also DM'd him and he's been more than helpful. Jimmy T. Martin, I guess the T stands for trust. I'm not sure I've heard that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I never met him and haven't messaged him much, but I know he's a big part. And I think it's Jerry Rizzo. Is that
Jerry Rizzo?
Your guru?
Yeah. He's an OG Penn Stater, Penn State guy. Yeah,
we are.
Yeah, that's right. Penn State. Hell yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we connect on that level too. Obviously there was that little bit of a connection there too, but Jerry and I go way back. And Jerry's been, I'll say like an integral part of just in general in my life, you know, throughout, you know, my careers now at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah. So shout out to Jerry as well.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get into it, but let's get your whole kind of backstory. Like I mentioned, episode 200 is kind of where I left off and it did kind of shock me and you know, we're going to talk about all that, but to start off, you know, what was it like growing up? You know, what was your childhood like?
I think, you know, as you know, I know you know this, but a lot of people listening may not. So, you know, going back, I mean, I no longer with my family printing business, Cork and Printing, I'll say that. And then I'll kind of backtrack because I'm doing the podcast stuff full time now, but going back, you know, the family business, you know, was around for 84 years. So as long as I can remember, you know, growing up as a kid, it was like, you know, that was, you know, the printing business was in my life for forever. I mean, obviously it's you know, 3 times as old as me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so growing up, like that's sort of, I don't want to say it's all I've ever known. Of course, you know, I went away to college, obviously Penn State, and then after Penn State, I worked for Verizon Wireless for a short time. And then, you know, after that time, yeah, there I decided, you know, that my short stint there was enough to teach me, give me enough experience in the corporate world to say, fuck that. I don't want to work in the corporate world. And at that point, then I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I'll get into the family business. I think I kind of always thought I would, but I wasn't sure. And I definitely want to get the experience first, but also my parents also wanted me to get the experience doing something else first, and, yeah, and rightfully so. So, you know, it was never like, oh, okay, right out of college, just go work for the family. And like, there's nothing wrong with that too, but you know, they wanted me to get some other experience. And I also, you know, and to be honest, even when I worked for Verizon, the short time that I did, I was like, you know, at some point I was like, all right, yeah, I love this. Like, this could be great. I'm going to move up in this company. And at some point, like I was like, all right, maybe this could be my thing, and maybe I'll never go do that or anything else, you know. But then again, you know, as time progressed there, as I got more experience there and realized, you know, the corporate world is the corporate world.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, that world's not for me. And yeah, so then, like I said, then I had the opportunity to join the family business, and I did that for 12 years. And, you know, fast forward, you know, of, you know, 4 or 5 of those 12 years, you know, as you know, I started the podcast, and I launched that, and I've been doing that, or was doing that on the side, mm-hmm, on nights and weekends for you know, almost 5 years before I decided, well, I mean, I know I told you this before we came on, but what a lot of people don't know, and I think I briefly mentioned it in my episode 200 on my show, but it was always my plan, not from day one when I started the podcast, but a little, maybe like a year or so into the podcast, I really started to be like, oh, wow, like I think I might like this more than printing. And my heart kind of just really wasn't in printing as much anymore. And I started to really enjoy the podcast stuff more, and the more digital stuff and the social media stuff. And you know, so as I started building more of the podcast, I'm like, maybe like I could do this. Like, at first, to be honest, I had no intention when I started it. Like, I had no intention of ever either, number one, making money, or number two, ever thinking I could make enough money to actually make it a real full-time job and a real company, right? So, So once I, you know, sort of got a taste of like, okay, hey, I could do this. Plus, like, I love it. And again, I didn't hate my day job, right? I didn't hate it. I liked it. It was great money. I loved all the customers and the employees and like everything. Like, I mean, you know, everything, you know, and just walking in here, I mean, just the smell in general, as soon as I walked in,
yeah,
you know, you probably get that all the time, but just the smell walking in, and of course it brought back a lot of memories, maybe some trauma, maybe some not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Working right? In a family business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know how it goes. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, like I said, it got to the point where I think I finally like realized, and that's, I think what I would love to encourage a lot of people is to try other things. Whether, yeah, even if it's just a hobby, try other things, because that hobby could turn into a future career. It could turn into a business. It doesn't need to, you know, I don't want anyone to think like, oh, like you have to start a side hustle just because you're good at X, Y, and Z. No, you don't have to. It could just remain a hobby forever. But if it's right, something that you want to pursue, like try it, do it, you know, and there's nothing wrong with trying it and failing, because then you'll learn what you like and what you don't like. And, you know, for me, like I said, like when I did it, I was like, ah, you know what? I really like this. And I think I like this more. And it just came to the point where then I finally, you know, had to, you know, break the bad news to my dad, like, hey, like, I think I'm going to, you know, I'm not leaving now. And this was a few years ago, but I was just like, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't want to buy you out. I don't want to take over this company. And when I say take over this company, I know I just said it, but I think the misconception in our community, and I'm sure you probably experience this a lot too, like, I wasn't just taking over the company. When you say that, a lot of people just think I was being handed something.
Yeah, given it.
Yeah, given. Yeah, no, like, yeah. No, I was not.
You didn't
not,
work for it.
Right, and that's not the case. And I think, again, I know I've said this, but I was going to be purchasing the company. Mm-hmm. I was going to be buying my father out. So I was never being handed anything. I worked for everything when I first started. I mean, I had nothing. I literally had, like, nothing. So, you know, I think that's the thing, is people on the surface level and from public perception, everybody just – most people just see where you're at right now, but they don't know where you started 12 years ago, you know, and same thing here, like, you know, 100 episodes in, nobody sees where you started. For me, no, you know, I'm 220 some episodes in, you know, besides you, obviously you saw where I started, so you know, but you know, but there's people that just come into my life, like, you know, this past week that maybe just discovered my show for the first time, and on the surface level, without them looking back, they're like, oh my God, look at all this. Look how far along he is. Like, look at all this stuff he has and this and that. And it's like,
oh, the studio's kick ass.
Yeah. And it's like, well, but at one point I, you know, it was a hole in the wall. It was nothing. Like, I was actually embarrassed by, like, the original first version. I was embarrassed. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I, I didn't even want pictures of it taken. I didn't want anyone taking pictures of it in the beginning. I mean, you know, looking back on it, I mean, I still did take some pictures. And I kind of sort of just kept them to myself.
You have to, right?
Yeah. But like, to be honest, I was even embarrassed to even show like what it used to look like visually. Because again, it wasn't always on video, as you know. It was just audio to begin with. But I was like, I was half embarrassed to ever even show some of that stuff because, well, it was like, it was a piece of crap, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, now looking back on it, I mean, I'm obviously super proud of it now.
For sure.
And, you know, not that I wasn't proud of it then, but there was a little bit of like, oh, like this like doesn't like look great, you know? But you know, it's all part of the journey. And like I said, going back to just people trying things, I think that's one of the things people are just afraid to fail. And people are afraid to look stupid by, you know, just from trying new things and whether they fail or not. People just are afraid to put themselves out there. And I think there's so much power in that. You know, there's power in vulnerability. There's power in just trying new things, whether you fail or not. And it just, you know, like I said, just try new things because you never know, like what you may never find out what you actually like. And you may never even realize that you didn't like something until you try something else. So
100%.
You know, I always encourage everybody just give it a shot, whatever it is. And, you know, and if you fail, then so what? Then move on.
Yeah. You only get one life. You know, why not try? Why not give it a go?
Right.
And I was just talking to my wife last night. Shout out to Courtney. She's phenomenal. Very supportive and everything. So appreciate what you do. Love you, babe. But I said, you know, part of why I kind of, I don't want to say ghosted you, but I didn't respond right away. And there was some time where I didn't get back to you on social media. Because like you said, I was kind of like embarrassed. I'm like, here comes this guy. Bill, never met before on the social media, but I'm bringing him into my dungeon, my studio, you know, my lair. And it's like, what is he going to think of this? You know, but yet here you are. But you know
dude,
what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, my first thing looked way worse than this, like way worse.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like, don't let that prevent you, you know?
Right. And, don't let that stop.
But yet that's why I didn't get back to you.
Because you have like that hesitation, like, correct. Because like you see somebody that might be like much further along than you and you're kind of like, oh, like it's like, it could be intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, it is. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. It could be intimidating and you could be like, ah, oh, like they're going to come in and think my thing's a piece of crap. And it's like, no, like I get it. Like everybody starts somewhere.
Somewhere.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. Everybody has a beginning and there's it's just part of the journey. It really is. And
and
I'm sure you could say the same thing now looking back on a lot of the things even from the beginning with you. You're probably like a lot of it you're probably say to yourself, and I do too with my own stuff. I'm like, oh, it's like that. It's like some of it's like cringeworthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you learn and you look back on it and you're like, man, like it makes you feel so much you're so much more proud now of like where you're at now and what you've accomplished because you've came as far as you have.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, again, like just I think everybody should be more proud of where they started, even if they're not that far along, because it again, there's nothing to be ashamed of or anything like that. Even though both of us kind of still had that mentality a little bit, but I think everybody does to a degree. And then there's also that like little bit of imposter syndrome that I think everybody faces.
Oh yes, I've talked about that before. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, you know, here I'm sitting at episode 100, which is crazy to think about, but yet it's like. Almost feel like I don't give myself credit sometimes, or, you know, looking back, it's like, did I really just do that? You know, so it started out every other week, but now this year it's been every week. And it's crazy to think about, like literally every Wednesday morning, 4 a.m., a new episode comes out. Even if I'm up the night before till 1 a.m, getting that episode ready to come out, you know, and some of that's procrastination. Yeah, some of it's just life.
We've been there. We've all been there. Yeah. I still do it.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, I still, you know, it's just the way it goes, man. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and, you know, we all procrastinate and, you know, but I also think like too, it sounds like you're probably the same type of guy. Like I work better up against deadlines, my back against the wall. It's usually where I perform the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there's some times where we're working down to the minute.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and, but guess what? You still got it out and it's still great. And nobody knows the difference.
Exactly. At the end of the day, nobody knows the difference. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So Bill, to back up a little bit. Actually, before we do that, let's take a sip break.
Yeah.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. What were you like as a kid in school and college? Troublemaker? Were you the goody two shoes? What was that kind of like?
Oh man, I was the troublemaker. Really? Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I was the type of kid that could never sit still. And I think, you know, so yeah, as a kid, I was always just curious about anything and everything. And I didn't do well in school. I did okay, but like, I wasn't an A student. I was probably like average or maybe below average. I just didn't really care as much. I mean, I think when I say I didn't care, I mean, I don't mean I don't care about education. I think education is important. However, I think a lot of people don't fit the box of society and school and, you know, the way that, you know, and this isn't, as we're all brought up as kids, I mean, of course you go to school. I mean, it's not something you can't do, right? Like we all go to school and everyone tells like, you know, do this, follow this path, blah, 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 you know, do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I never knew like what I want to do. And, even up until, again, even I'm going back even a few years, even though I thought I knew what I wanted to do and I thought I wanted to take over the family business, I didn't, you know? So, but again, like backing up to college or, you know, high school and college, I was a goof. And when I say, you know, when I said I was a troublemaker, I was just a goof, you know, I was the kid in the back of the room goofing around. I just didn't want to be there. I just, you know, I just wasn't really interested in most of the subjects and the activities at school, you know, besides sports, you know, I ran track and cross country, which I absolutely loved.
Okay.
And I also did karate for over 10 years, you know, as a kid as well. So, you know, I was more interested in those things, to be honest, than school, probably 'cause I loved them more. And I think, you know, maybe that's like the ADHD in me is that and that's also part of this as well, but if I really love something, I could totally crush it. Like I could just, you know, balls to the wall, do my best because I absolutely love it and I could really hyper focus on it. And when it's something that I don't really enjoy as much or don't really fully love, I tend to just not do that well. And that's, you know, it's not because I'm, you know, a bad student per se. I mean, a lot of it, you know, is just, I'm just not interested. And, and, you know, again, I mean, who wants to do anything they're not interested in?
Right.
You know, of course, I mean, yeah, school, you got to go through it, of course, but you know, I was just the big goofball and I was just, you know, always goofing around and, you know, nothing crazy, nothing bad, but just,
It wasn't, you know, like
I
your,
just, yeah, I just, yeah. I just didn't want to be there. Like, I was just like, you know, this is bullshit. I just want to, you know, get through it. And then once I went to college, like it was a whole different story. I think because in college I was really on my own and I, you know, because I made my own schedule, I was able to, I wasn't put in a box.
Yes.
You know, like in high school, you're put into a box and you're told, you know, do this and follow this path. Uh-huh. And there, you know, maybe nowadays there's more of, and I don't even know because I'm not that in tune to what goes on in schools nowadays. I mean, I will be in the near future as my kids, you know, start to get a little bit older, but maybe they are starting to teach or expose kids to more business stuff and more, or more entrepreneurship stuff. I mean, I hope they are.
I hope so.
If they're not, I hope somebody that is in education is maybe listening to this and, they could maybe introduce something along those lines to kids, because again, not everybody wants to, you know, again, not everybody fits in the same box and everybody fits the same mold. Not everybody wants to go to college either.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with skilled tradespeople. I mean, look at the people that work here. They probably, 100%. They have great jobs. They love what they do. They're super skilled. And some of these people, like some of the skills that, you know, tradesmen, craftsmen have, and like, you know, it's, You know. Again, I think growing up, because we're about the same age, we were all told to go to college by society. This isn't just a shot at anyone. This is just the way the world was. It was like, oh, if you didn't go to college, you're not successful.
Right.
And so everyone thought we had to do that. And you know, and you do still have to do that to a degree. You know, if you're going to go be a doctor or a lawyer, of course you have to do that, right? But you don't have to go to school to be an entrepreneur. You know, and you don't have to go to school, you know, to say run a business. Obviously, you need to kind of learn somewhere somehow, but you can also just learn from somebody else, or you can learn, I mean, look at the power of the internet now. You can literally learn anything online, or you can just learn by trial and error, which sometimes may not be the best,
right?
But sometimes I often find that gaining the experience and doing it hands-on myself is usually how I learn the best. Like if somebody says, oh, this is how you do it, I'd be like, okay, I kind of get it, but I don't really get it until I do it, you know, and have like little, maybe like a little micro failure is what I like to call it, and until I can really get my hands on something, fully understand how it works, how it doesn't work, that's like, okay, now I get it. And sometimes, like, I only need to be kind of shown once, or I only need to kind of like do it once. And then once I do, I'm like, all right, now I get it. And sometimes I don't even finish. Like if I'm watching like a tutorial, like a lot of times the way I do it, like I'll be watching something on YouTube Now, maybe I'll be halfway through the video, but it's enough to just get me started.
Yeah.
And then, like, because, and even, like, I've taken, like, other courses before. Even recently, I've taken, you know, just some, like, online courses. I forget what the heck they even were. But once I got, like, parts of the way through it, I was just like, it was enough. I learned enough. And I know this may sound like partly a cop out, but I feel like I learned enough in the first half that I, you know, did, that was enough for me to then feel confident enough to then just go do the thing and at least get it started. That's the thing. Most people just want to, you know, learn and take a course, but then never take the action.
100%. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. You know, again, like there's some things I just never even finished where I was just like, okay, I think I got enough information that, like, I could just now go start doing it, and I'll just figure out the rest on the fly as I'm. And I know that's not the best thing to do all the time. I'm not saying, right?
I think of the sweat tent.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, I think you had watched or read some of the instruction and, like, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
And then you ended up, like,
I burned the feet off.
Burned the feet off.
I did.
Yeah. See, I told you I'm a listener. Yeah, I listen to all that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know what's going on.
And I say, in my opinion, nothing beats real world experience.
True.
You know, nothing beats it. Now, if you can find a mentor or someone along the way to help and guide you, you know, and ask questions because they've failed and already been through it, you can greatly benefit from that. Would you say there is one person in particular that has been a mentor in your life?
I mean, I think if I were to shout out one person, I would feel bad because then I feel like there's probably a lot of other people that have helped me. But yeah, I mean, I would say collectively, it's been a number of, you know, obviously family and friends, obviously growing up through the family business, and, you know, there's, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, then, you know, there's, you know, there's also my mom, who was never part of the family business, who, you know, again, there's been a number of people, including my team. Like, I even look at the team as, you know, I don't want to say that they're mentors per se, but, like, I learn from them as well. And a lot of people look at things in business, and I think people look at things the wrong way sometimes, where they hire somebody that's not as smart, or, you know, people are afraid to hire somebody that's smarter than them because it's like an ego thing.
Oh, no, yeah.
Where it's like, no, like, you want people that are smarter than you around you because they're the ones who are going to help you grow your team, grow your business, et cetera. And so, you know, between my, you know, my team, my family, you know, some close friends, just some other business people in the community. I mean, it's been a, like I said, it's been a combination of so many people over the years. I mean, even, you know, I'll even go back and even as far as even some, you know, high school teacher or two, you know, that's also, you know, even people like that, like, they've, you know, there's been people along my journey that have just, you know, even if there was just something they said that, like, I just remember for the rest of my life. Martial arts is another one, you know, so, you know, again, doing karate for as long as I did, you know, even just that, I mean, there's, you know, that has also helped me and shaped me to be the person that I am today. For, you know, more reasons than one. But again, like, all these different experiences growing up, going through life, good and bad and different, all of it, it's all, they've all shaped me in one way or another. And yeah, it's a lot. Like, there's so many people that, you know, some have come and gone, good and bad. And, and that's okay too. Because again, everything has taught me a lesson. Everyone has taught me a lesson, whether they're in my life now or not. They've all taught me a lesson, and they've all served their purpose, you know, and even for the ones that are still in my life, they all still serve a purpose. And the ones that aren't in my life, they still serve a purpose too, because they taught me something. You know, they taught me a lesson, whether it was something good or bad, but hey, that's the thing about life, man. It's just, I believe in constantly learning and just, you know, being a student of the game. You know, like, you know, you're at 100 episodes. I have a little over 200, and even me, I will never sit here and think that, like, oh, I know more than you, or I'm better than you. Like, there's things, you know, that just you and I bouncing things back and forth. I mean, I look
just
at your content.
Just setting up the cameras here.
Yeah, like, I mean, I look at you, and it's like, you know, I mean, like, I can learn from you. And I, you know, just because you're not as far along as me, or just because you don't have as much experience as me, doesn't mean I can't learn from you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I can't learn from even somebody that has less experience than you. So the way I look at it is, like, you know, if you keep the mindset of being a student of the game, and just always willing,
I love it,
to learn, take constructive criticism, take feedback. Like, I say to everyone around me, anytime, my team, and even just anyone else, and I just had this conversation literally just yesterday with somebody. I said, just give it to me straight. Don't sugarcoat it. Like, I'm not a baby.
Yeah.
I can handle the truth. I'm not afraid of it. And I don't want you to sugarcoat it. I don't want you to lie to me to try to make me feel better. I said, you'd be doing me a disservice if you just told me what you think I want to hear. That's not why I asked you the question, right? So tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what I'm doing good. Tell me how I can make things better. And again, just constantly learning. Like, just, I tell everybody, like, give me the feedback. Even if it's bad, I want it, because I'll make it, that's how I'm going to learn. That's how I'm going to make it better.
Yes.
And that's been one of the things with the podcast from day one that I've always encouraged, you know, listeners such as yourself, and you've given me tons of great feedback all along. You still do. Is like, give me the feedback. Like, I want to know. Like, when people compliment and say they love so much about the episode, you know, when I say back, well, that's great. What didn't you like?
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's not that many people that will do that. There's not many people, when somebody gives you a compliment, there's not many people that would say like, oh, thanks, great, and move on. There's not many, you know, most people, that is what most people would do.
Would do, yeah.
Most people aren't going to say, well, what didn't you like? How can it be better? You know, how can I improve it? And I think by having that mindset all the time, yeah. And that goes with life too. I'm not just talking about your profession, whatever it is. Like, I'm always asking people like, okay, how can we be better next time? How can we be more efficient?
Yes. You know,
what can we do better? And that's it, man. Like, I look at it every day. Like, I try to learn something new every day. I try to improve every day, personally, professionally, as a dad, as a husband, as a podcaster, content creator, entrepreneur, you name it, man. I think just constantly learning is key, and not getting complacent, because I think, you know, complacency, that's where dreams go to die. And if you get complacent, you're just, well, that's it. You're just going to be complacent, and you're never going to move forward.
You won't grow.
You won't grow.
Yeah.
You won't grow, because growth happens in places of uncertainty, places of not being complacent. And by doing that, again, like, you open the door for so many more opportunities for personal and professional development. And that's where it is, man. And I know, as cliche as it sounds, the, you know, again, get outside of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so true.
Yes.
It's so true.
100%.
And people want to think that they are, that they're doing it. And a lot of people aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like, I encourage people all the time, like, get outside of your comfort zone, try something new, do something, even though you know you're probably going to fail at it.
Right.
Because again, that's where you're going to learn, even if you fail. Like,
yeah. Oh.
Like, failure is, you learn. That is, yes. Like, that's the point of failure, is learning.
You grow, and I've said before, I'm kind of, I see myself as a little bit of an introvert, right? So for me to even consider doing a podcast is like wild to think about. You know, when I was a kid, I couldn't even order dinner. You know, I couldn't even look at the waiter and waitress when I was, you know, probably, gosh, 12 up to 13, you know, I don't know. I would look at my parents.
I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, right. But that's like who I am. Like, even now, my wife would be like, hey, we got this party this weekend, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. Well, I'd rather just, you know, chill at home. And then when I get there, I become like the life of the party.
Yeah.
But I kind of keep myself kind of quiet. You know, of course I do the sales thing, but yeah, to put myself out like this, I was like, I don't know. But then I'm like, if this guy can do it, if Bill can do it,
yeah,
I'm gonna give it a shot. So
yeah,
no, I'm pretty introverted, pretty like stay at home. Don't want to be like center of attention, but I don't know. This has definitely helped, I think, doing a podcast format, because it's like, it's just like a sales pitch or sales, you know, we're just talking.
It's just a conversation. Cause at the end of the day, I mean, that is what sales is. It's just having conversations. Like in sales, like, you shouldn't be selling something. You should just be having a conversation and asking questions. And that's exactly what a podcaster does, or at least a good one, right? You ask good questions, you show up prepared. You showed up very prepared. I mean, you know, just from the questions that you've already asked and the things that, you know, you've already asked me even before we started, like, clearly shows that you care about what you do. You're genuinely curious. And you did your homework. Like, you showed up so prepared, more than most people. And that says a lot about, like, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, most people just wing it through stuff like this. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and plus, like, the more you prepare, the better you're going to execute. Mm-hmm. And, but again, like, you know, same thing for me, like, with the podcast stuff. I mean, first of all, like, when I started, I didn't know anything about podcasting, right? Like,
let's get into it real quick.
Yeah.
The origin story, right? Because I know it very well, right. But the listeners have no clue. So, yeah, continue, please.
Okay. So it started, in 2019, I worked for the family, was working for the family business then. And just as you have here, large pallets of paper, right?
Yes.
So I just took a picture of just me sitting on the pallet of paper, just like kind of like just doing a goofy little pose. And people thought I just posted it, and I don't even know why I did it. I just thought it was okay. Like, you know, it was like kind of like a cheesy self promo, in a way. But again, I was being vulnerable, putting myself out there, maybe in a setting and in a way that I normally wouldn't have, especially in a work setting. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I did that. And because I was dressed, you know, and I was in like an industrial environment with, you know, metal and industrial type stuff in the background. And then here's me. I've never really showed that side of the business, like, you know, it's kind of like a down and dirty looking background, right? And most people would be like, oh, it's kind of like ugly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point of it was it got people's attention because it was like out of place.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And at the time I posted it, and I think people got interested in it because of that reason, because it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably weren't expecting that from me. And people just got interested in it. And then somebody was like, hey, I'm going to come take a picture with you. And I'm like, huh? But the guy that said it, shout out to Mark, he said, I want to come jump on dem stacks with you. Like
yeah.
That's where the name came from. And I will always give Mark credit, you know, forever for, you know, really helping me, you know, basically come up with a name. So when he said that into a message, he's like, hey, man, I haven't seen you forever. Like, he was actually my old manager from Verizon. He was my former sales manager. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So he reached out. I was like, hey, brother, like, haven't seen you forever. Great to see you're doing well. He's like, I'd love to catch up with you. It's been years. Like, let's grab lunch. He goes, and then let me jump on dem stacks with you and let's take a picture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm kind of like, why does anyone want a picture? Right.
And just,
I'm like,
pallets of paper.
Yeah. But yeah. But I was like, okay, well, if he's interested in it, then I'm going to be interested in it. Right. So, okay. So he came in and we did it. And then again, because of that, like, he took interest. So then other people then started taking interest, and then more people started asking, like, hey, can I come do that? Because what I ended up doing when I posted the picture, you know, like, I'd be like, oh, this is Austin. Austin does XYZ. He's a great dude. Go check him out. Like, real simple, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you probably remember some of that stuff from back then, but yeah. So then it gained a lot of traction, like, really fast. And I did that for a whole year, like, almost every week for a whole year prior to actually then turning it into a podcast. So it went from just the pictures, me posting on social media, to then me launching just an audio version only of the podcast. And did audio only for the first couple years, and then I introduced full video after that. But yeah, so that's the origin story.
Oh, I do remember. And that's when you did get your own place, and I want to talk about that here coming up. I did miss seeing, and it's probably because of my background being in the print business and print industry, because I thought that's so cool. I'm like, man, here's a guy showing his, like, the press was kind of in the back, maybe a little blurred out.
You know,
like,
he had the pallets of paper.
Yeah, it was like a backdrop. Yeah.
That was the set.
Yeah, because I think I even messaged you when you moved into the new studio. I'm like, what are you going to do? Like, you got to get a pallet in there, you know,
and
a skid of paper.
Yeah, I did.
You did for some of the early ones. But I was like, man, that was so cool. And I think that's why, too, it really, like, just connected. I'm like, this is so cool what this guy's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to shout out some of my favorite episodes, and I kind of mentioned, you know, episode 38 with Sugar Plum Chocolate.
Yeah, Neil Edley. Shout out to Neil.
I like him. He seems like a character.
Is he a character. I mean, I can't wait to tell him to listen to this, because, yes, he's a character and he knows it.
Yeah. I'm like, I got to try his sweets. They sound really good.
They are.
Episode 60 was another one where I was just like, these guys are having way too much fun. That was Protocol Cigar.
Yeah. The cigars. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
They're wild dudes.
They seem like it, and I don't even think they needed whatever drinks there might have been.
Yes,
but
the wine. Yeah, the wine honestly just, I think, enhanced the wildness of it. Yes, but no, the wine that we drank wasn't even necessary.
Yeah, it wasn't even necessary. Right? Yeah, they just that's
just
how
made
they
it
are.
Better. It escalated. Yes, exactly.
Now, episode 152. That was Bo Nickel.
Bo Nickel.
Yeah, UFC fighter. Known. How did that come about?
Yeah. So shout out to Isaac Mensa. Local guy back home. He had a sneaker store in town, and I connected with him and had him. So first, I had Isaac on my show.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah, so I remember.
Remember Isaac Mensa? Gemini Kicks.
Yep.
So I had Isaac on, and, you know, didn't know Isaac when I had him on, and then after that, you know, him and I just, you know, our relationship continued, and we just, you know, we became friends after that, and of course I, you know, bought lots of sneakers from him.
Yeah.
But after, you know, again, after that, he was like, hey, man, like, he's like, just so you know, he goes, if you're ever interested, he goes, I could probably get some of the former, like, Penn State, either current or former, excuse me, Penn State wrestlers, maybe on your show for you if you're interested. And I'm like, well, hell yeah, of course I'd be interested, right?
Yeah.
Not only because I went to Penn State, but just in general. I mean, I know some of them have really great stories. Obviously, you know, Bo Nickel, one of them, for example, at the time when I got introduced to him through Isaac. I mean, he was, you know, he had just gotten into the UFC, and he was about to have his debut fight. And so again, Isaac was like, hey, out of all these people, he goes, I think Bo obviously is probably the best one to have. You know, he's in the UFC, and he's the furthest along and is the, you know, I'll say the most, you know, visible, popular, et cetera. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'd love to have him on. Absolutely. So we connected, Isaac connected me with him. I'm pretty sure it was before the fight, and right after the fight, he said,
"Yes,
you know,
it was, yeah,
yeah." And then he said, you know, Bo said, like, okay, let's, he goes, I'll probably come, like, right after the fight, like, after I recover, right? Mm-hmm. And so he said, let's reconnect after the fight, and then we'll figure out a time to come. And, you know, then we you know, we're texting, then we hopped on the phone, you know, after the fight, and he said, yeah, like, I think he came, like, a week or two after. I forget the exact timeline, but, yeah, then he ended up coming, you know, just came on the show, and he drove up from State College, and he came in, and, you know, we made a little bit of day out of it. We went to Isaac's store, you know, yeah, he got some kicks.
Nice kicks, yeah.
But the way that Isaac knows them is because, or how he got to know all the Penn State wrestlers, he sold them all sneakers. That's how it all happened.
Okay.
I think because Isaac was a wrestler himself, not at Penn State. I think he wrestled at King's College in Wilkes-Barre. But he somehow, I don't know if he maybe just DM'd one of them again, because obviously he was a wrestler, so he has that commonality. Yep, yeah, that yeah. commonality. So, and maybe he did some camps with them too. I'm not even sure. He may have, and that's maybe actually how he maybe knows them a little bit better than just a cold DM. I'm not sure.
Right, right.
But I think at some point he was like, hey, like, if you guys ever need some fresh kicks, like, let me know. Like, I'm the guy, you know? And I remember Isaac telling me a story, and I don't know how long ago this was, but, you know, a number of years ago, he one time, you know, some of the wrestlers were like, oh yeah, like, can you get me like X, Y, and Z pairs? And we went, yeah, sure. And Isaac filled up his car with like a bunch of, you know, dope kicks. And he drove out to State College just to meet the players, but I mean, or wrestlers, but
hook them up. Yeah,
but to, you know, and, you know, yeah. got them some sneakers that they wanted. So he then built a pretty good relationship with, I mean, like, probably the whole wrestling team. Yeah. So, you know, that's it. Long story short is that he ended up meeting them through his sneaker business, and then he introduced me to Bo, and rest is history.
It's connections, really. You know, it's people.
It is.
It's relationships.
It's just conversations.
Yeah.
Just conversations.
When it comes down to
it. You know, like, again, like, it's just, you have that commonality, and you start talking, and it's like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I do that. Oh, like, well, how do I buy that? You know, and then all of a sudden, you get a customer, you make a friend. And, you know, and then that network, and then extends to people like me and or you, and
it just grows.
It just grows
from there.
Yeah.
So now episode 200, I'd mentioned off air, like, that really hit hard for me, I guess, because we're so similar in, you know, what we do career wise and everything. And I was shocked. I'm not gonna lie. Like, when I heard everything going on. So I just want you to share a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah.
Whew, I gotta take a deep breath here. I don't know if there's enough time for this. Now, I'll sort of summarize it as, you know, so I don't go on for an hour about it. But, long story short is that everybody had, you know, up until that point, everybody was always saying, like, Bill, like, when are you going to be on the show? When are we going to hear from you? Mm-hmm. Because up until that point, I never really spoke as much on the show. Like, I didn't do as much as the talking. Similar to, like, your show. Like, you do a great job, by the way, of giving the guests the floor.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
Because you do a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And I was worried.
No, okay. you do a great job at it. And
yeah.
And you know, that's always been my way that I've done it too. I always would give the guests the floor and really, you know, not that I just let them talk about whatever they want, of course. I, you know, but I just always want to give them the floor. I didn't want to be that host that always just talks over. Like, nobody wants to listen to a host like that, you know? And so anyway, because of that, I was always the guy that, you know, I didn't want it to be all about me, because it wasn't about me. It was about the guests,
100%.
You know? And, you know, then as time progressed, I started, you know, becoming a little bit more vocal and sharing a little bit more about me and really engaging, not that I wasn't engaging in the conversations, but really starting to give my two cents a little bit more. But then the other half to, like, why I wasn't or didn't want to be my own guest is partly because a lot of people, and I might have touched on this a little bit in my episode, I'm not sure, but a lot of it was, for the last few years, I had been planning. You know, and, you know, obviously this was kept very secretive, and my dad obviously knew. I had been planning to leave, to exit the family business, and my dad was going to sell the family business, and I was going to leave and go do the podcast stuff full time. So because knowing that, I was, you know, I couldn't speak about a lot of this stuff. So I never wanted to be a guest on my own show until I was able to fully 100% tell everybody, like, here's what's going on. Here's, not that I was hiding anything, right?
Right, right.
But, like, here's who I really am. Here's what I want to be. Here's who I want to be. Here's what I'm going to do. All that stuff. So there was a hesitation in me that a lot of times I don't like to do these types of things like this right now.
Yeah.
Unless I can really fully be 100% my authentic self and really just tell everybody, like, what I'm doing, what my intentions are, et cetera. So I always felt silly having to just say, oh yeah, I'm just doing the podcast thing on the side. Because a lot of people would ask me all the time in the community, like, everyone, like, hey, that thing's going pretty well. Like, are you going to go do that full time? And I would have to lie all the time, you know, a fib, actually. We'll call it a fib.
Yeah.
I'd have to tell a fib that I was like, nah, yeah, I'm just doing it on the side, whatever, you know, this and that. And because again, I couldn't tell everybody what the real story was. So, so fast forward to, you know, I had that the plan was for me to leave the family, you know, exit the family business in June of this year.
Yeah.
You know, so just a few months ago, and, April of this year, as you know, I had my heart went to AFib, and it was a totally unexpected, you know, shocking situation. I had to go to the hospital. I had to get the defibrillator to put my heart back into rhythm.
Wow.
So it was a real scary time, real scary moment in my life. And at that point, you know, when I, you know, obviously everything worked out, I was okay. And then, you know, when I came home, you know, my life changed. Like my life really, really after that, I just, you know, it was like I got a second chance at life. And I felt I need to make other changes in my life too, you know, maybe some sooner than anticipated. And I had to just really reconsider like all the things and people in my life, you know, who's around me, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Why am I doing it? Am I doing it for the right reasons? Or am I just, you know, whatever. So again, this was only a few months before I was supposed to exit the business. But again, that incident really threw me for a loop, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, a lot of emotions, a lot of things going on, et cetera. And I had to make a really difficult decision at that time to, for the first time in my life, to put myself, my health, and my family, like all of us, I had to put myself and my family, meaning my wife and my kids, I had to put our interests first and ahead of everyone else's. And up until that point, I never really put myself first. I've always been just a really giving person, empathetic person. I was always just there for the team. I always thought I was a great team player. I've sacrificed a lot to my own expense, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when that incident happened, it was kind of like a wake up call. And I was like, shit, like I've been just, you know, putting everybody first my whole life. And, you know, I can't live my life like that anymore. And so I decided, you know, for the best interest of my own health and my family's, that I had to walk away from the family business immediately. And, you know, obviously it was a very difficult decision. And some people could be like, oh, well, why didn't you give even like a notice and this and that? Well, there's a lot more to it, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't want to badmouth anyone in particular or anything like that. So, you know, again, it was just, you know, at the core of it is like, I needed to put myself first. And what that meant was breaking ties from anyone and everything that was causing me stress and just not really doing anything good for my life. And that meant leaving the family business right away. And, you know, so a week after coming out of the hospital and I was just home, you know, relaxed and recovering, I just gave a resignation. I said, I'm not coming back. And, you know, I helped with a couple things on the way out, like, hey, here's this and here's that. But I said, but there's no chance of me coming back. Like, there's nothing. I even put in the letter, this is non-negotiable. Like, if somebody, you know, if anybody even wants to try to offer me double the money. No dollar amount would have brought me back there.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, because up until that point, you know, and a little bit before that, I already realized this before this incident, but, you know, most of my life, I was always just chasing a paycheck. And, you know, not that I didn't love it, and I wasn't doing it for the wrong reasons. And, you know, I really, you know, I believed in the company. I believed in the mission. I believed in the product 100%, hands down.
You have
down,
to if you're
always.
Selling it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's actually why I left Verizon, because I didn't believe in the ethics there.
Okay.
So, yeah, now fast forward to this, you know, being in the family business, I 100% fully believed in it and everything around me. So, but again, at the same time, if when I worked there, if you asked me, like, what do you like so much about working there? I would have said the paycheck. Because I didn't have any other reason. I mean, other than, okay, yeah, it's a good job. It's fun. The people are great. The customers are great. All that's good. But I couldn't be like, yeah, I freaking love everything about it. Like, mm-hmm. it was good. But I couldn't tell you like, oh yeah, any other reason besides like, you know, those couple little reasons or the paycheck. And when I sat back and looked at that, it's like, I was doing it, you know, I'm looking at it the wrong way. And it's like, clearly it just wasn't fulfilling anymore. It just wasn't fulfilling. Yeah. And it didn't seem like it served a purpose. Like I didn't feel like I had like a purpose. It was just kind of like going through the motions and I just became maybe comfortable or a little bit complacent there. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of got to that point where I was like, okay, well, I got to this point where I kind of wanted to be in life and like, now what? And then once I got there, I'm like, I don't know if I actually even like this. You know, I'm like, and then to me at that point, it was just like, okay, well now it's just here. I'm just here for the money.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm not, this kind of sucks.
Right. You know, you're like, not pushing yourself. You're not growing anymore.
Yeah.
You're just, like you said, complacent.
Yeah. So like I said, I had to make that really hard decision of like, hey, I got to put myself first for the first time in my life.
And you said your family too.
Yeah.
You know, you have a great supporting wife. And
yeah. Shout out to Jess. She's the best. Yeah. The wives are the best, man. I know you shouted out your wife as well multiple times. And if it weren't for her and the support that I've gotten from her, man, I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here today. You know, because even like when I told her, like, hey, you know, is it cool if I just take the whole day and just drive down to Lebanon?
Yeah, what'd she say?
She's like, oh yeah. It wasn't even like, well, what about this? What about that? It was just like,
thank you, Jess.
It was like, what do we have going on today? I'm like, nothing. She goes, okay, whatever. Good. That's awesome. Go have fun.
Yeah,
you know,
I appreciate it. Yeah.
So again, like, it's if it wasn't for her and her support, I mean, I wouldn't have accomplished probably nearly anything that I've accomplished up until this point. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Jess.
Yeah, there you go. And I got to correct you. It's Lebanon, not Lebanon.
Say it again. Yeah. Lebanon?
It's Lebanon.
Lebanon.
Lebanon. Yes, like that.
Lebanon.
Not Lebanon. We're not in the Middle East.
Okay. All right.
That's the only thing I had to correct you on.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Lebanon.
Wow, Lebanon.
Just like it's not.
Okay.
It's Lancaster, not Lancaster.
Oh, see, I call it Lancaster.
No,
Lancaster. I know.
You could school me because I would say Wilkes-Barre.
Well, that's right.
Or it's not like Wilkes-Barre or something.
No, it's Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre. Oh,
yeah, you had it right.
I got it right. Okay. Yeah.
See, I'm 0 for 2. You're 1 for 1.
Man,
so
let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Well, my wife did go to Misericordia, you know.
That's right. Okay. So that is partly how you also had a connection, sort of up.
What is it?
Way.
Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah.
Up that way. Yeah. So Bill, you know, kind of abruptly, but you knew it was coming, right?
Yeah.
You left the family business. Boom. Done. You pretty much dive headfirst into purchasing a commercial building and, you know, really launching this media and podcast company as a full-time career. What have you learned over that experience? What has it been like?
Oh, man. Chaos.
Yeah.
But good. Yeah. So, I mean, the purchase of the building, believe it or not, I may have said it in the episode. I may not have. I forget. But the purchase of the building of where I'm at now actually came a lot sooner than expected, because at the time that I bought it just over 2 years ago, there was at that time, again, nobody knew any of this, but there was a pending acquisition of the company, of the family business at that time, which ultimately, by the way, ended up falling through it. And for full clarity and transparency, the company that owns that acquired the family business now is not the one I'm referring to. Okay. So again, there was a pending acquisition a couple years ago that ended up ultimately falling through, actually right after I bought the building. But at that time, that acquisition was like, I think it was like 30 days away from closing.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Like it was that close.
Very close. Yeah.
Very, very close. Okay. Yeah. So at that point, you know, I had been introduced to the new owner, and actually I'd already known him because he's in the industry and, you know, we were friendly competitors. But there had been no communication with him and I up until that point. And there was kind of a handshake deal that I was allowed to stay there in the building and still do the podcast on nights and weekends. And I was still going to do my job there, and I was going to phase out just like I ultimately ended up phasing out. But in my very first conversation with him, he threw me out. I actually got thrown out.
Really?
Of the building.
Like legit, just boom, you're done. Yeah.
First
here.
Conversation. This is exactly how it went. I pick up the phone. I'm like, oh, hey, Nate. He's like, hey, man, it's me. He's like, finally get to, you know, reveal that it's me, that, you know, I'm acquiring the company, and obviously we know each other. But he goes, hey, you know, I'm glad we can finally, you know, talk. And then his very next words were, yeah, so the podcast, get out. And I was like, wait, what? And this, I'm not kidding. This is exactly how it went. Like, this was like 15 seconds into the conversation. He's like, yeah, get out. And I'm like, what do you mean? And in the moment, I'm like, oh my God, is he like firing me altogether? I don't even know what's happening right now, you know?
Yeah.
Because technically at this point, he's technically the new owner, because, you know, all the paperwork's signed. It's just we're waiting until closing.
Mm-hmm. He's your boss.
Yeah, at that moment. Yes, at that moment he was. And
get out.
So I wasn't getting fired from the job, which, okay, so I figured that out. But he goes, yeah, he goes, I don't care where you go. I don't care if you move into the basement of your house. You got to go. And that's exactly how he said it, and I'll never forget it. And he said it exactly in that tone, very condescending. And I said, okay. And I just kept my cool. I was very professional, but I was also caught really off guard. And I'm just like, okay, well, I also, like, I, you know, didn't want to lose my job in the moment there either.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I was like, well, how much time do I have? And he's like, well, he's all give you a little bit of time. He goes, but sooner than later, just get out. Oh, okay. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So I called my realtor buddy up, and I was like, and I was actually in a good position to actually – buy something, because I was at the time looking to make my first real estate investment purchase. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, Alan, find me a commercial building like tomorrow. And and then within a few days, we found that building and went in, looked at it, made an offer. And from the day I made the offer till the closing, I mean, it was like 45 days.
Wow.
And that's actually how it happened, huh? That's actually the story of the building.
Thrown right into the deep end.
Yeah, that's actually that's the real story, which I wasn't able to share that up until a few months ago. I wasn't able to even tell people that was the real story, because obviously that acquisition fell through. So that buyer ends up backing out of the acquisition. He got cold feet or whatever, whatever the story was, but he ended up backing out of the acquisition of the family business. And at that point, I already purchased the other building. And could I have backed out of that? I could have. Yeah, sure. But I would have lost a little bit of money. Didn't want to lose any money. And I had the opportunity to move back, not leave, the studio that was in the family business. Mm-hmm. But I bought the building, and either way, I looked at I'm going to need a building sooner or later anyway, because obviously I was still planning to leave the business at some point. So I was going to have to find somewhere to go. And now looking at it back now, like getting thrown out, even though in the moment I panicked and like, I was like, shit, what the hell am I going to do? But it was actually a blessing in disguise. So, shout out to Nate for throwing me out. it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, I haven't spoken a word to him since him and I think talked like one other conversation after that. As we were starting to make the, as he was going to acquire the company. But after that, I haven't spoken to him since then. And
I won't blame you.
Yeah, I don't plan to. But I'll definitely give him a big shout out for throwing me out. And thank him for that. And yeah, because it really launched me to really where we're at now, and it actually gave me a much better head start. Because when I first moved into the building, I was only really using, one of the three, spaces in the building. And now it's 100%, us. Like we took, we're in the hole. We take over. I mean, it's not a huge building, but, I built a second studio. I have a nice little lounge area in there. And so I've been able to, since then, I've been able to really grow the brand, grow the business a lot more, before leaving the family business. So
right.
It gave me the opportunity to really grow it more. I've invested all the, any money that I've made from it, I've just been able to reinvest it right back into the building, hence, the new studio and all that. And yeah, so that's the story of the building. And okay. So like I said, it gave me the opportunity to really expand more and much faster than I thought, which was great.
Yeah, let's take a sip break.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I'm going to take a pee break. Can I take a pee break?
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. All right, so we're back. I look at it as, if you're on a trip, when the driver takes a rest stop, everybody mm-hmm. takes a stop.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, now you have your own place. Kick-ass studio, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, you did so much work to upgrade that, make it your own. Like, so much probably blood, sweat, and tears went into that place.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, a lot. I mean, I was there 7 days a week. Like, I mean,
probably living there. Sleeping.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I was there a real lot. I mean, there were some weeks. I mean, I know some people probably be like, yeah, you're full of shit, but there were probably some weeks that in total, and this is like everything I had going on, but I was probably working like 100 hours a week.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I was there every single day. I was there every day till like 1, 2 in the morning sometimes. Yeah. Then wake up the next day at 6 o'clock and go to my day job, and then do the day job, and then after work, go there, and then work there all night. And then, on Saturdays and Sundays, I was there for, 10, 12 hours. Like, I mean, it was a lot, a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm an impatient person,
yeah.
as you can probably tell.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was very eager to get it up and running. And I also didn't have, I didn't have $1 million to spend to pay people to do everything. Obviously I remodeled a lot in the building. I had to, because a lot of the stuff was like outdated. So, you know, it was more than just painting, you know, I mean, there were some floors and the whole, I redid the whole bathroom.
Soundproofing, kitchen.
Yeah. I wish. We just have a little rinky dink microwave.
Oh, well, it pulls off as a kitchen. Close enough. What more do you need than a microwave?
Yeah, that's all you need. I'll throw a Hot Pocket in there or something, right?
Hot Pocket. I haven't had one of those in a while.
I don't mean either. Probably not since college. It's probably not good. I don't know why I just thought of that.
Ramen?
Oh, dude, I love ramen. I love ramen. I can get down with the ramen. Yeah. But yeah, man, it was just, like I said, I was impatient. And so, like, I wanted to get it up and running because, like, it was just plain and boring.
You're on the gas, Bill. You go, man. You're all into it. So, like, and leaving the family business kind of freed you really to go all in. You actually started two new podcasts under the OTS shows, and for the listeners, on the Stack shows. But anyway, tell us about them and who are the hosts on those episodes or those podcasts?
So we like I said, we built that second studio. I got some interest from some people that, you know, it's like, oh, hey, like, why don't you, you know, you have another space back there. Like, why don't you turn to another studio? I'm like, well, you know, obviously that costs money. And So I was like, you know, Dr. Will Ramey, I had him on the show, you know, a little while back before him and I started having the conversation of him, you know, doing a leadership podcast. But yeah, so he was like our first like guinea pig, and you know, he knows that. And then there's no, you know, this isn't like a big secret, but we were both each other's guinea pigs. Like, he wanted to do a podcast. I wanted to help somebody start one, like actually like, and be really hands-on and like help him do it and run it and all that. He just pretty much, you know, he shows up, he has all of his content, and then we just do all the production stuff in the background, you know? But yeah, so we took the approach of like, okay, hey, you know, we have all the knowledge, we have the space, we have the skills, we have the team, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, start it up, help monetize it, you know, so that way it doesn't really cost anyone any money. And it's a win-win, you know, it's a win-win for him because he now has a podcast, he's able to promote what he does, his leadership, you know, coaching, et cetera. And then it gave, you know, us and my team the experience of, hey, now we have another show under our belt, you know, per se.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously try to make a little bit of money with it all around. So we launched Wills, and then we launched a second one, another one, called Food Fight with Brian D. Matei. And, you know, his obviously is, you know, right in the name, food, right? So Food Fight, it's all, you know, it's, he just has all kinds of guests on that are, you know, in the food world one way or another, and a little bit of fighting too, cause he does jujitsu. So it's, you know, same thing with him. It was, before the podcast, again, I had him, he was also on the show well before him and I had this conversation of him maybe starting a show, but he was on the show and then, you know, we didn't know each other before that either. Same thing with Will.
Yeah.
Didn't know each other and we just got to know each other more. But Brian also before this, he had a Facebook page called D. Matei's Food Fight. So his Facebook page, it was just just him going around just reviewing any and all kinds of food, like not just pizza, right? So he would just go to all kinds of local restaurants, you know, anything, you know, from bakery items to burgers and fries and, you know, even fast food. I mean, just anything, everything, desserts, everything. So he had already had this brand, D. Matei's Food Fight, before coming into this, and he was looking for ways to expand his content. And again, you know, we connected after he came on the show, we connected some more and became friends. And he's like, hey man, like, I love what you're doing. I love the studio. Like, it's like, everything's like legit. Like, I'd love to be part of it in some way if I can. And he's like, you know, I'd love to see, like, he goes, I saw you guys just started a show with Will. Like how does that work? Like, what's that about? Right.
Yeah.
So then, you know, there became interest from people like him because he saw that we were doing Will's show and he's like, how do I do one? And how can I be part of it? And how does that work? So we kind of sort of took that one under as a, you know, as one of our like in-house shows is what we call them. And you know, same thing, helped monetize it from day one. And, you know, help them run the show inside and out, show them how to do everything.
Yeah.
Make a few bucks. And yeah, so that's it. So we have those couple in-house shows. And since then, now I've sort of, I'm not sure if we're going to do any more in-house shows right at this point. We're kind of like, we're always growing and evolving. So like things change like every day. Right. Yeah. But we do some other shows, but they're just like strictly like white label. Like they're not. Like they're more so where somebody's they're just paying a higher price because we're not making money off the show, right? So it's more of like just a production service that we're offering where whether they're using our studio or whether they have their own and we just take all the files and then put it all together for them. It's like a you know, soup to nuts, you know, full service. You just show up and record. You don't even have to if you don't even want to know how anything goes, like that's the point. Like they pay because they just want to pay somebody like me to show up, record,
mm-hmm.
have as much content as they want, and they don't have to do anything. And for, you know, entrepreneur or business owner who wants to focus on their business and grow their business, they know that a podcast obviously is a tremendous tool to be able to help them grow their business. And they obviously, you know, they don't have the time in the day to be able to do everything that I do in the background, for example, which is why they just hire somebody like me to do it all so they can continue focusing right. on actually growing their business. And then this content will help them also grow their business, but they don't have to do all the back end work like we do. Otherwise, they would just bog you down. Because as you know, you know how much work it is, right?
Lot, and I'm nowhere near what you're doing with the video and all that. Yeah. You know, full-time video.
Yeah. So again, you know, that's obviously another service we offer. And we're also dabbling in some other videography type work as well. And we're still curious and expanding in other areas too. Okay.
The reason I was smiling, I was going to ask if there was like a, I guess it'd be fourth, because you have On the Stacks, the food Fight, and then Leadership Podcast. But mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, is there, can you give us a taste of something new that's coming up? But it sounds like you don't have anything yet in the
books. We have a few things kind of in the works, I'll say, like nothing really like official, but there are a lot of other ones in the works. But again, they're going to be more ones. They're not going to be like an OTS original type show.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Right. If you have something going on. Not yet.
I mean, we might, okay. You know, they're
follow,
you know,
on social media.
I mean, I do. Yeah. Follow. Yeah. Check out. Yeah. Just keep an eye out. But yeah, I mean, we get approached all the time in a good way, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but at this point, you know, now that this really is, you know, now, not, you know, now that this is my full time and I'm depending on this too. So now I really have to be a lot more strategic, not that I wasn't before, but now I have to be a lot more strategic in terms of how my time is spent and how our team's time is spent. And we need to make mm-hmm. sure that we're spending the time on the things that are going to obviously, you know, yield money, because, you know, everybody needs money to pay their bills, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, so a lot of people kind of still look at it as a way and like approach us like, oh, like this is kind of just like a hobby. Well, it's like, meh. So we're past that. Like OTS is in a different place now, mm-hmm. you know, so than what it was even, you know, 6 months ago, right? So, you know, not that it was a hobby 6 months ago, but it could have been treated more like a hobby then, because I'll say obviously because I still have my day job and I still had sort of like the funding to be able to fund it, God forbid. Mm-hmm. I needed to put my own money into it, which I have, and you know, it is what it is. It's part of running a business, right?
Right.
But it was maybe a little bit more of a hobby sort of, you know, back in the day, just because, you know, I wasn't solely focused on it. I was focused on it enough to be able to get it up and running and build myself a great foundation to set myself up for the day that I say, all right, now I'm doing this full time. And now that I'm doing this full time, like I said, I need to be a lot more strategic as to what we're taking on, the type of work, make sure that it's obviously going to be profitable. Again, not that money's everything, right? But at the same time, this is a business, right? Yeah. Like I need to, you know, obviously this is it. This is it. So again, I mean, it's still open to all options. Like I'm the type of person that if anybody brings an opportunity, I'm never just going to say no right off the bat. Like, mm-hmm. You know, unless you're an asshole, but
right. If you're a jerk. Yeah. Personality. Right. You're not easy to work with.
No, but so like I said, I mean, I still, if anybody wants to have a conversation about anything, I'm the type of person that I'm always willing to have a conversation about anything, because you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Even if it's something I'm like, I don't think I ever want to do that. But again, through all my experience over the years, I look at things now like, every conversation, every interaction, every person, everything is an opportunity. And I know you know that, you know, being in the line of business that you do as well. But again, I think, you know, that's one thing for me that I just always look at everything as an opportunity, everything. And I'm never above anything. I appreciate you even inviting me on. So I mean, I'm grateful to even be here. Number one. So again, thank you.
Yeah.
But again, like, these types of relationships, this is, again, like, I know this, you know, this isn't what I was just talking about, but again, this is just an interaction, a conversation that we're having that, I mean, you know, we're going to continue this conversation probably for the rest of our lives. And
I believe,
you know what
it.
I mean? Like, it's, you know, obviously we've connected and we've been friends for some time now. And you know, I see this conversation continuing on for, you know, who knows how long, right?
Getting to meet in person is just, it's awesome, you know, and I appreciate you coming down, you know, to Lebanon here.
Yeah. I told you I would. You know? Said, hey, like, would you ever be willing to make the trip down? I said, listen, man, I said, I 100% would be willing to come down, and I'm a man of my word, and you know, if I commit to something, I'm going to do it. Of course, unless, for example, I have a health incident, and that's like a different story.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, I mean, when I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I'm, you know, I'm going to do it unless, God forbid, there's a catastrophe that, you know, obviously I have to change course of direction. But,
yeah,
you know, you and I have been talking for a while about, you know, trying to make something like this happen. And I said, yeah, man, I said, when the time's right and, you know, the time's right and here we are. So I'm glad we finally did this, man.
What really motivates you to continue to grow your media empire?
That's a really great question. I think, for me, man, like I said, after the heart incident, like I have a whole new outlook on life and a whole new purpose. And a lot of it is just, you know, it's probably more so like legacy stuff. But also just, you know, going into this and just anything with, I want to do things that like I genuinely love, and I want to work with people that I want to work with. And that's it, man. Like those, what motivates me is just conversations like this, working with great people, doing fun projects, and just helping people. And really, you know, I know it sounds silly, but like a lot of this, I feel like, and because people have told me that, it's changed their life.
Yeah.
And when, you know, when somebody tells you that something that you've done with them together in some aspect has affected their life to the point that it changed their life, I mean, that's very powerful. And, you know, again, going back to the printing thing, like no one's ever told me that I changed their life. And, you know, once you kind of sort of have experiences like that, you're like, oh man, like that's why I'm doing it. Like, this is why I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. You know? So again, so for me, it's given me the ability to now spend more time with my family and do the things that I really want to do, and also pursue other things like real estate investing, you know, is another interest of mine, you know, from a business standpoint. To be able to, you know, have, you know, more property, maybe OTS will move to a new building soon. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. So,
you never know.
But yeah, so like I said, for me, it's more about just building the legacy and living the life that I want to live. And I, like I said before, I touched on a little bit before, is like, I feel like I was chasing money. I'm no longer chasing money. I'm chasing freedom. And for me, freedom is exactly what it says. It's doing what I want to do on my terms and doing it the way that I want to do it, when I want to do it, and the money will follow. And that's how I look at it. When you finally fully embrace like who you really are and really go after the things that you want to go after, the money will just follow. And at that point, you're no longer doing it for a paycheck. You're doing it for, I'll say, like yourself and your family, but also it's about the freedom. And I feel like there's a lot of people in the world that may not feel like they have that freedom. And I understand, because I felt like I didn't up until not long ago. I felt like I was like trapped.
Yeah.
I felt like I was trapped in something. Right.
Right.
So for me, man, you know, of course, obviously having the conversations and sharing the cool stories and making the dope content, like it's all fun and it's all life changing. It's all great and all that too. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, what's it all for? And it's like, you know, obviously there's a lot of good that comes out of it, but also, like I said, it's more so about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Money's a tool, right?
It is.
It's a tool for in this case, freedom, you know, to get what you want. So I have to share the story with you because you might appreciate it. So I can't say selling printing, anyone's ever said I've changed their life, but I did have one client, Reading area, and she said to me, this is the first time I met her, and I like to take samples of our work. So she had this one sample, and she says, Austin, this piece speaks to me. So my grandfather's waiting out in the car because he would ride around with me up until COVID. Now, not so much. But anyway, so I said, oh, okay, great. Blah, blah, blah. And it was a good meeting. Go out to my grandfather. I said, you're not going to believe this. She just said this piece speaks to her. Grandpa looked at me. He's like, in all my years in printing, I've never had somebody say that. You know, and it's just like, it's just crazy how like people.
Moments like that, man. Yeah. You can, it really resonates with you as to like why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It makes you feel so much better. It's like, you know what? Like, this is why I'm doing it, you know?
Right.
Like it has that effect on you. It's like, oh man, it feels so much better now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If you feel good, it's highs and lows. Like our grandfather always said, it's like, you know, a roller coaster riding a wave. You know, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. You know, you're going to have a big sale or a big guest on your podcast. You'll be real high. And then the next one, you know, you might have something going on in life that you're low. And it's just like, you got to just ride the wave and don't get too excited. And one of the things I wanted to mention, you know, about changing lives and stuff, you recently went over to Africa, and I just want to kind of touch on that a little bit, because I think that's such a neat experience and one that not a lot of people get to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the episodes, hopefully they'll be out in the near future, but yeah, a year ago we called it a road show. It was our first one. We took the show down to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes. That was awesome.
Yeah. So we got a little bit, a taste of that, and that was really cool and really fun.
Are you going to meet Yellow Wolf? Is that how you say it? Yellow Wolf.
Yeah.
Because you're pretty close.
I know.
Pretty close.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a future trip again down there. I've made really good friends with Edward Crow. Shout out to Edward Crow. It's Yellow Wolf's manager. But yeah, made some really dope connections down there. And just, again, like that experience itself, it was life changing too. Like that experience, like for me. And again, so now then fast forward to, you know, just recently we just went to Africa not long ago. We have a few episodes that we recorded there. I can't wait to be able to share those soon. But yeah, man, that was, it just kind of came out of nowhere and the opportunity sort of presented itself. And I was like, well, hey, man, if we could figure out how to make this work, you know, obviously financially, obviously there was, you know, a decent cost involved of going to Africa. It's not cheap. Plus, you know, we're going there. Really, obviously, we're going to work, like, you know, and also be part of a great water project there, which obviously is impacting, you know, mm-hmm. thousands of lives in Africa. I mean, which is also super cool and awesome and great to be part of something like that. So, you know, there was a lot of different factors involved here. And but yeah, I mean, that was another, you know, another experience that, man, like this podcast journey.
Yeah.
Like the places that it's taken me. Literally, I mean, like literally, yeah. actually, you know, yeah. again, Nashville, halfway around the world. You know, to Africa. I mean, it's incredible, man. And I think that's, again, going back to just talking about like trying new things and just be open to anything and just having a conversation. Even if you say no at the end of the day after that conversation, like that's okay too. But again, like that was just one of those conversations where it's just like, well, what's this about? Oh, like, okay, what do we need to do? What's it going to cost? Okay, like, all right, if we can figure this out, like, let's do it. I believe in the mission. I love it. We're going to make some great content, be able to help each other out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like a win-win. So man, yeah, I mean, crazy, crazy good experience. And you know, I'm sure I'll be back there someday. I don't know when, but it was really great to just be a part of that whole thing and experience that. And yeah, wow. I feel like it still haven't really even fully hit me yet, even though it was, you know, just a couple months ago, but
yeah.
Yeah, man. What it was a hell of an experience.
Wild ride.
Yeah.
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 So what would you say with all your travels, meeting all these guests and everything, what is one life lesson that you could leave for the listeners? I know it's hard to just pick one because you got so much, you know, the experience. Mm. What would you say?
Oh man. Yeah, that is a good one. Well, I mean, I hope I don't feel like I'm repeating myself. But I really think I really think more people nowadays just need to really like take a step back and look at their lives and kind of like I did and just say like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And really ask what your why is. And if you can't answer that question, like for me, again, I'll use myself as an example. I have no shame in admitting it. When somebody asked me like, about, you know, when I was working in the family business, like why I'm doing it. Yeah. I could have made millions of dollars, you know, but why am I doing it? And if my answer was that, like, sure. You know, who doesn't want to make a lot of money? Right? I like nice things. Who doesn't like nice things, right? Money buys nice things, but that's not the be all end all. And I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to sit here and say, oh, money doesn't buy happiness. That's to be honest. Yeah. It actually does buy a little bit of happiness and it sure as hell helps. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Oh yeah.
Again, but at the end of the day, when you sit back and ask yourself like why you're doing it. And again, if you can't answer that with like, if you're not like 100% confident in why you're doing something, then I think you're doing it for the wrong reason. And I don't care how old you are, or how young you are. You're never too late to start over. Like I have people that are like around 40 or in their 40s, like some friends, and they're like, oh man, my life's over. Like I'm gonna be stuck here. I'm like, what? No, you're not. Like you're just, I feel like you're just getting started.
Yes.
Even me. I feel like I barely even have just gotten started. Like I'm just getting started. I'm 35 years old.
There you go. Yeah.
And I had no shame in admitting, like, yeah, I had to take a step back. I'm not making the kind of money that I used to make, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Will I be back to that point? Sure, I will. I know I will. That's the plan.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm going to be able to make that same money and more and do something I love more. And again, now when somebody asks me, like, why I'm doing it, I know now why I'm doing it. And there's so much more meaning to it in my life now than there ever was before. So for me, I mean, this whole thing, again, it's all about the why. So I guess I think I answered it. So,
yeah.
You know, when you say like, you know, some advice you want to give, it's really just embracing who you really are, being authentic and just living your life, whatever that is, whatever that may be. And, you know, if you have to go take a $20,000 or $30,000 pay cut to go do something else, There's no shame in that. Mm-hmm. And don't be embarrassed. Go do that. Who the hell cares what anyone thinks? Like, stop caring.
That's
like,
it. People That's need a to, big key. That's a big
yeah,
key.
Yeah, people just need to stop caring what other people think and just go do the thing. I don't care what the thing is. And you know what? And support your friends. Support your friends and your family. Mm-hmm. Don't make fun of them for doing something that like, oh, he's always doing that silly thing over there. Well, guess what? That silly thing might mean a lot to him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
like, you know, support him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can go a long way just by liking somebody's Facebook post.
Yeah, you don't have to give money or spend yeah. money. Just liking, sharing.
Yeah, right.
Commenting, you know, or even just talking about it, asking about it, you know.
Right. Just yeah. asking, like, being genuinely curious. And I think to me that that's been a big part of my success, if anyone ever were to ask, is just being genuinely curious. And I think I could say the same about you. I mean, you're a genuinely curious person, and I think that's a lot of what makes a good podcast host, number one, but also just a good person in general and a good business person, entrepreneur, or whatever you want to consider yourself is just being genuinely curious in people, because if you don't take a genuine interest in somebody, like, well, it's just, what's it all for? Like, and yeah. when you do take a genuine interest in somebody like that, like you're able to get so much more accomplished, because again, it's genuine. Mm-hmm. It's real. It's authentic. It's not just a business transaction. It's not just a, hey, I'm paying you for this because of that. You know, there's so much more to it. And those are the type of people I want in my life. Those are the type of people that I want to surround myself with. And again, so if you have any doubt in your mind at all, just really take the time to sit back, ask yourself why, and then also realize that if you want to change whatever you're doing in that moment, it's not going to happen overnight. It may take a few years. I mean, look at me. I did it for almost 5 years on the side.
Yeah.
Could I have left a little sooner? Maybe. But again, you know, and be patient. That's the other thing. Be patient.
Yeah.
I know I just said before how impatient I am,
right.
But I feel like this journey for me, it was actually extreme patience. But again, it's just ask why. And then be patient and just do what you love.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
man.
Keys.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's actually that simple.
It's that simple.
People tend to overcomplicate it.
I think you're right. 100%. Yeah.
Everyone does, man.
You overthink it.
Everyone does. Yeah. And stop thinking. Just go do.
Just post. Just do it.
Just post. Just stop. Because
pull the trigger.
The more you think about it, I'm not saying make irrational decisions.
Right.
But like,
right.
You know, just do it. Just go do the thing. Just try the thing. Make an attempt. Stop thinking about it, because the more you think about it, the more you're just going to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just post that piece of content. Just dive in. Why not? You know, like I said earlier, you only live once. So now, Bill, how can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
Oh, man. Well, I'm pretty easy to find. So on this, you know, if you're obviously on thestacks.com or on YouTube, obviously you can just find us, you know, youtube.com/onthestacks. We're on every major, you know, podcast platform. If you want to just listen to the audio, you know, Spotify, Apple, all the rest of them, whichever ones still exist nowadays. So you can watch all of our shows, my show, you know, On the Stacks. You can watch Food Fight. You can watch Leadership Decoded, all on the OTS channel on YouTube. You can follow us on social media. We're pretty much everywhere, you know, at On the Stacks Podcast for my show on Instagram. Also, we have the OTS shows handle as well on Instagram, if anyone wants to. That's kind of like the catch-all for all of our content.
Okay.
It's kind of all commingled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a, you know, if anyone wants to kind of just see like a mix of various content, you can find it on there, because that like I said, that we do the collab posts with all the different shows. So it's a variety of content, you know, kind of all on one page. Then, of course, like, you know, on Facebook, and we're pretty much on all the platforms. You know, some we have a bigger presence than others, obviously. We focus on some, you know, more so than others, but very easy to be found. And if they can't, I mean, obviously myself at Bill Corcoran Jr. on all the platforms. If anyone has a question or anything or ever wants to connect, talk, please do, you know, send me a message. I'm an open book.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, with this being episode 100, I just want to quick, thank you again, Bill, for coming. Thank your wife, Jess, for holding it down back home. My amazing wife, Courtney. Friends, family, you know, you know who you are, the Shepleys, the Jaegers, Katie. I know you've been waiting for this shout out. She listens to every episode and she's like, you haven't gave me a shout out. So, you know, really friends, family, coworkers, relatives, everyone that's been listening, and just everybody, because it means a lot. Like Bill said, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that people don't know or they might not appreciate. And, you know, I'm 100 in and I'm looking forward to the next 100. Who knows, maybe get Bill back, or maybe sometime I'll make a trip up just to see your studio.
Oh,
it would be
hell
awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I'd love to.
Absolutely.
So before we close out, Bill, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
No, man, I just want to thank you again for having me on and, you know, inviting me in, showing me your place here, meeting your dad was great. And just, you know, again, thank you for having me. And congratulations on the big 100, man.
Thank you.
It's obviously, it's a huge accomplishment. I know what it means, obviously, because I'm in it too. So I'm honored, like I said, as we started, I'm honored to have been your guest for episode 100. And I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope the listeners enjoy the conversation as well. And I just want to thank you again, man, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. There's never a doubt. If I could get you, you'd be my 100. So,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Bill. Bill Corcoran Jr., host of the On the Stacks podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.